So, Sandy, this has been a six-month process, and the president has stayed the course, ultimately pushing the big, beautiful bill through. Tell us a little bit about how we got it through.
Well, I think it's been an amazing feat by President Trump and also by Vice President Vance. And I think the approach has been something that we've never seen. I don't know, maybe since the founders, that they would try to persuade congressmen, not based on, I'll give you this if you'll give me that, you know, a bridge in your name or something for your state, but based on just this united feeling that we have to save our country financially. And President Trump has been persuading each of them. And he told, you know, he told us that there's been no bargaining. There's been no, I'll give you this if you'll do that. It's been persuasion based on, you know, saving this country, and persuasion based on making the point that the things that are in this bill are so good, they can overcome the things that we don't like. And so I'm inclined to believe him. I'm inclined to believe him. And I think, you know, as my bellwether, if Freedom Caucus and also Ron Johnson in the Senate, if they listened and decided they could vote for this, then I'm on their team.
All right. Well, that was yours truly on Newsmax yesterday morning. I did a Wake Up America weekend at 7:05 and 8:05. Oh, I have a funny story to tell you about that. But first, let me be serious. The host was Betsy McCoy. I've known Betsy for a number of years. Betsy was an expert on Obamacare. That's actually when I got to know her. She's the former lieutenant governor of New York and New York State. And so it was really fun to be with her doing that. I've actually been on Newsmax a lot lately, and I just want to tell you, it's just a great outlet. I think their lineup is really terrific, and they are actually, you know, more conservative than Fox. Fox, I like Fox too, but when you're listening, in order to discern, you have to understand that Fox leans, I'll just say Paul Ryan is on their board of directors. Karl Rove is still involved. The Bushes are involved. So it's going to be more of a centrist or, to me, liberal Republican view, but not every host does that. It's just like the editorial, the news, and all of that. You have to learn which host leans that way and which one doesn't. But on Newsmax, everybody's pretty much a hardcore conservative, and so you can get some really good information like there on the election of 2020. You'll get a lot more stuff there than you will on Fox, who pretty much ignored all of that. So anyway, it was a joy for me to be on with Betsy. We talked about a lot of different things, and I thought I would bring some of those to you today. I thought we would play a few things, and then I will comment further on the questions that Betsy asked me. And but first, so on this July, the celebrating the birth of our nation, we remember that, and we want to do everything we can to change it. Preborn is certainly doing that, and that's by showing moms the photos of their baby in utero, where they can see them sucking their thumb or moving around. It's just beautiful, and that's what happens, and it changes moms' minds. Most of them actually do change their mind when they see that. One ultrasound is $28, and we just hope and pray that you'll be generous and give your best amount to help stop taking the lives of unborn babies in this country. We need to do it right now. So lots of things, good things are happening. Let's add this to the list. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, you can call us. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040 and leave a message, some response, some a thing of observation, something you didn't like, something you did like. We love hearing from you. So call 662-821-2040 and don't leave us a message about what you think about what you're hearing. Or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any of the social media platforms. And you can also find us at my website, which is sandyrios.com. I think that it's easier to listen to the podcast doing that. If you're not used to podcasting, sandyrios.com. However, if you're an AFR listener, you probably have already discovered, I hope, that you can go to afr.net, and listen to the program, or you can go to any social media platform, Apple or Spotify or Amazon or any of those, and listen to Sandy Rios 24/7 anytime. Well, you can listen to it, by the way, 24/7. Wasn't that clever? Anyway, so there are lots of ways to listen, and I encourage you to do that. All right, so today's show is going to be kind of a potpourri of subjects, but we're going to be talking about the big, beautiful bill, the economic growth. We're going to be talking about the communist candidate for mayor in New York City. We're going to be talking about Vladimir Putin and the call from between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. So it's kind of a potpourri, but and then at the end of the show, I'm going to tell you something funny. Trust me, it is funny. But we're going to start with my early morning 7:05 appearance on Wake Up America on Newsmax on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up America Weekend. I'm Betsy McCoy. Thank you for sharing some of your morning with us. It's Sunday, July 6th. I'm calling today Salute to America Sunday in a sweeping victory for his second term agenda. For more on the big, beautiful bill, now the law, let's welcome in our weekend panel. This morning, we're joined by White House and Washington reporter for Politico, Daniel Lipman, as well as the host of Sandy Rios 24/7 and the author of, quote, God's Velvet Hammer, Sandy Rios. And we're also joined by our special guests, Newsmax contributors Dr. Tom Borelli and Deneen Borelli. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So nice to have you all. It's great. Well, we just heard President Trump calling this his biggest victory yet. Do you agree, Daniel?
I think it is legislatively. There's no question about that. And it would have been a huge defeat if there had been a huge tax hike on every American. The problem is that every poll we've seen on this bill has it underwater. And so there's a lot of Americans who are against this. And he didn't exactly run on Medicaid cuts or food stamp cuts in the campaign. It was more about revitalizing the American economy and tariffs. And so there's still a lot of people who are, even like Josh Hawley, who now want to do a bill reversing a lot of what's in this bill, which is ironic when he is a conservative populist Republican.
Boy, the deficit hawks won't like that. with provisions like no taxes on tips, that's a great one, no taxes on overtime, no taxes on Social Security, how do you assess the immediate impact of this bill on public opinion, Sandy? Do you think that the polls are going to reverse somewhat?
I do, because I think, according to the best sources, we're going to be bringing in so much money. I think the president's right about that. And honestly, could I say, you ask why this is such a big victory. One of the most impressive things to me, having been in D.C. for such a long time, is that he was able to pass a very, the bill is not flawless. I mean, we could talk about its flaws, but he was able to pass it by persuasion. They didn't threaten people. He went, like with Tom Massey, there was a conversation with him, and it was very peaceful, and President Trump was just trying to persuade him, and they've been at each other for months. I think that's the remarkable part about this. I have never seen a contentious coalition like the Republicans, and rightfully so, on the deficit, be persuaded not by promises of perks, but by persuasion of how this is actually going to be very good in the long run. And I think, the people in the Freedom Caucus, who I trust, and Ron Johnson in the Senate, for instance, If they can say this bill is okay and it's got more good in it than bad, then I think we need to be really excited. And the promise is that it may be so good that it's going to unleash all kinds of income that will cover some of the things we're troubled about.
That's really interesting that you make that observation. Just as a follow-up, do you think that the Vice President Vance has something to do with it, too? He was really working the room.
I do. I just think that there's a spirit of we're trying to save this country.
Uh-huh.
And so all egos aside and all pet projects aside, this is how we have to do it. And I'm beginning to see that, you know, I was a skeptic on this. I was really concerned about some of the bad things in the bill and the deficit and all that. But I had it explained to me that we have increased $3 trillion over 10 years. Oh, that's not good. But President Biden was increasing $1 trillion every 100 days for 4 years. So it's perspective. And if this can create growth in the economy, then we can do this and even maybe cut down the deficit.
Okay, so that was the first segment with Betsy. And I was just thinking, you know, there was a lot more to say about that bill. A lot more. It's huge, as you know. For instance, it allows coal. We can actually use our own coal now. I was listening to Congressman Tim Burchett talk about this, and he said, you know, God made it. We need to use it. And we have so much coal, so much shale, that we were already energy independent the first cycle President Trump served. He had unleashed this, and we didn't need anyone else's oil. It was amazing. And then, of course, President Biden depleted all of our oil reserves. What does that mean? Well, those oil reserves are there for war. For emergencies. If we didn't have energy and oil or things to drive our cars, think of that alone. But think of your houses. Some people, certainly in the Northeast, warm their houses by coal, by some kind of energy related to that, not electricity. Coal, and of course, think of the trucks, the planes, all of that can't be powered apart from coal power. Or shale or something to that effect, gasoline. So that we have exploration, all those limitations and restrictions and rules. I'm not saying all, I don't know how many, but most of them have been lifted. And then they are taking away from solar, solar experimentation, solar production, supplements, government money given to solar exploration. There haven't been any new discoveries in solar in 20 years. And solar does not produce enough to replace the old kinds of energy. Nuclear, I guess, is the number one, and we need more nuclear power plants, but people freaked out after that accident many years ago, and also became politically incorrect to use it. But Europe, China, you know, everybody's building coal power plants, a nuclear power plants also. That's another great source of energy. So solar is kind of on the back burner right now in terms of federal dollars. That doesn't mean private solar companies won't keep selling solar. But that's the after this bill, they will not get subsidies. Windmills, the same thing. Windmills are out. And let me tell you why. Windmills, let's just see. They don't work. They pollute the environment. They kill whales. They kill birds. And you can't get rid of them. And they don't give you the bang for the buck. And it's interesting to me that China, guess what? Well, they produce like, I think 90% of our windmills, 90% they make them. But guess how many they have in China of this great source of energy, wind and solar, wind, I mean, none. They have none. None. They have none of those windmills in China. Well, maybe they know something we don't know. So they make ours, which are an eyesore, and do so much talk about damage to the environment. They do it plenty. So nothing else for windmills. That's over. So the national debt, I talked about that in that clip. We are concerned about the national debt, but I heard Tim Burchett say that we might actually, by the time we bring in this money from tariffs and we rein in government spending, and by the way, this bill didn't do all of that, and I'll say something about that in just a second, but it's possible that we could have such growth that we could pay off our debt or have a surplus. Now, that's a long shot. That's a dream and a goal, but it could happen. And so I am excited about this. And I was actually quite worried about this bill for all the good reasons that the Freedom Caucus brought forward and all the good reasons that you heard, the objections to what the parliamentarian was doing to just out of hand, cut out large portions of this bill that the Freedom Caucus had worked so hard to create. So many of the things that they wanted, like reining in judges, lower court judges, that's gone. But of course, in the interim of this, the Supreme Court has kind of taken care of that with their decision on a lower court judge. We can talk about that more at a later time. But that happened like, what, 10 days ago, something like that. So that's going to have a domino effect on other lower court judges. Hopefully, they'll stop being able to stop President Trump and these really incredible things that he's doing. And so, and the other thing, of course, was the parliamentarian. There were lots of changes to the Medicaid restrictions. I can't be specific with you in this moment, but the idea is that people that don't, that are healthy, should not be getting Medicaid. Medicaid was expanded under Obamacare, and it ended up being an absolute boondoggle. The states, the rates of insurance for states just skyrocketed. And so states were given a lot of money, like, you know, bribed a bit to expand their Medicaid rolls. And then, of course, they couldn't pay for what the medical care, because it costs a lot more than people pay, or what the government can give. And so then they're asking for more federal dollars. And it's been a disaster. Louisiana is probably one of the worst examples in the country, but they're not the only state. So that's an issue. And so the parliamentarian restricted part of those limitations. And then, of course, the courts reined in. And then on the immigration also, the parliamentarian made some arbitrary decisions. So I was very concerned about that. But let me just say that, for instance, in the issue of immigration, we got some great stuff. They got almost everything that people who are hawks on this ask for. The border wall will be built. It will be completed. There's money for that now. Remember, President Biden took the money for the border wall and gave it to some other project? Do you remember that they started dismantling what wall the President Trump had built? Maybe you're not aware of that, but they actually did that. And right now, we have a situation on our border, and by the way, they've moved the artificial border away from the land border inland so that they can take on the cartels and others. It gives them more room to fight what's coming across that river and other places. So that's not, I don't think, in the bill, but in the bill, there's tons of money for new Border Patrol agents, for new ICE agents. And what I'm hearing is that the cartels have become so sophisticated, they actually have crypto communications, that it's Chinese. They're using Chinese crypto. Why Chinese, you might ask? Because fentanyl is produced in China. The fentanyl that's killing hundreds of thousands of Americans is coming through the southern border with the cartels, and some from the northern border as well, by the way. But the cartels are armed with sophisticated weaponry. And so our border agents are having to really like fight an army on that border. And so they need more resources than they've got them now. That has to be good news for all of us. You know, I remember reading The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire when I was pretty young. I didn't ever finish it, but I read enough of it to get a real good gist. You know, it wasn't only just problems internally, and trust me, they had them, but it was also hordes from the north. They call it hordes. The barbarians came in from the north. And they were called barbarians because to the native people who spoke, I guess, in Rome, they spoke Latin. That's complicated. They spoke a lot of languages, but Latin was the language of Rome. The people that were pouring over the border sounded like they were speaking barbar. People would illustrate it by saying it sounded like barbar, and that's why they called them barbarians. But it was the barbarian hordes from the north and the breakdown of everything in the government in Rome and the you know, those huge arenas where they'd watch the gladiators being murdered and they would cheer, and it was their appetites became so great. They were so successful, and that's what we've been having too. And yet I feel that God has interceded here and heard the prayers of his people. I don't know for how long. Maybe it's just been for 2 months or 6 months. I don't know for how long. But right now we're in a period of grace, and I think a trial where we need to really make the most of the times in which we live. And I hope that we are. But anyway, back to the bill. I was really upset about it, to be honest with you. But now I am persuaded that it is the better way to do things. And that wasn't the only thing we talked about on Wake Up America Weekend. Betsy then asked me a couple of other questions. So this one is on Vladimir Putin. So let's listen, clip four.
Trump said that his call with Vladimir Putin yielded, quote, no progress toward a ceasefire. Doesn't it seem like Putin wants to end this war, well, not anytime soon? Sandy?
I think Putin, now that he's spent so much time and resource, wants Ukraine. And I don't see any reason, if I were advising him, you wonder why he should stop. The only thing I think, you know, he would listen to economic benefits if President Trump proposed them. But it's a mess. And I think America is in a big part of blaming this mess, the Biden administration. I hate what they did. I think they goaded Putin into this. Putin was willing to not invade Ukraine if they promised that Ukraine would not join NATO. And he wouldn't even listen to them.
Remember when Biden said a little invasion might be okay?
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
Okay, so that's a current event, you know, because Putin and President Trump talked just last week, and President Trump said, you know, that nothing came from it. It was, and the reason they talked was because Putin unloaded a huge attack on Ukraine, and it did a lot of damage, and several hundred people were killed. Those poor people, could I just say, those poor people, it just breaks your heart to see what they have endured. And I don't claim to have the answer. I don't have the answer. That would be so silly of me to say a thing like that. But I do have observations. It is true, from my perspective, that Joe Biden goaded Putin into attacking. It went on for months. It was silly things. Like, Biden was asked, what do you say to Putin if he decides to, is pondering carrying on this invasion into Ukraine? And Biden's statement was, don't. You know, there's no real diplomacy, no real threats, more like a taunting. And you have to remember that we have discovered, of course, that Joe Biden and his family took millions, because I don't remember the number, hundreds of thousands at least, and perhaps millions, from Ukraine, from the government. They were deeply involved in their oil production from the company called Burisma. Hunter Biden was paid something like, well, an enormous amount of money per month to be on their board. He knew nothing about energy. He knew nothing. He got that job because he was the son of the president. And remember that Barack Obama appointed his vice president, which was Biden, to be in charge of Ukraine, Russia, and China. Those were going to be his areas. And so he flew all over the world, and often Hunter Biden was with him. And they made big bucks, their family, Biden's brother, his sister, his grandkids. I mean, they made big money from these companies, from these countries, including Ukraine. And so one has to wonder, and not wonder very hard, if there might be a reason why Joe Biden might want a war to continue in Ukraine. Because maybe, you know, just maybe, because he's so corrupt, there was money to be made. That's what I think happened. So meanwhile, you've got the Ukrainian people stuck in the middle, and actually the Russian people too. Because they've lost so many people in this battle. Of course, Putin didn't have to do this, but he was worried because NATO is the alliance that was formed after World War II of all the European nations, including the United States, vowing together, signing a pact that if Russia attacked one of their countries, the other countries would come to the defense of that country. And so Ukraine wanted to enter NATO because they used to be part of the Soviet Union, and they were, I don't know, maybe there were other countries that wanted to enter NATO, but none of them have been able to do that because they're right on the border of Russia. Their DNA is Russian. They used to be part of that country even before the Soviet Union. And so Putin was worried that they would join NATO and it would be, and then they would be beefed up militarily, and they were right on Russia's border. Look, right or wrong, he's defending his nation. And also Ukraine has historically been part of Russia. So it's really, personally, I'll just say, I don't think that's our fight. I mean, in general, that's not our fight. That was something that had to be worked out between Ukraine and the Europeans and the new NATO. That's their part of the world. And we are not threatened by Ukraine or Russia. Oh, maybe someday we will be, but right now, no. And so you have to think about whether we were spending billions of dollars in Ukraine. We have been. I think I would limit us to humanitarian aid. I really do think that's the right thing, because I don't think Ukraine actually can win this war, and they just may have to lose. And that's a terrible thing to say, but I'm just telling you, these are my thoughts. I just can't stand to see that they are constantly bombed, and children and women and children, and the Russians too. Just President Trump has talked about this. All the lives lost, this waste of human life. It's just got to stop. But they can't expect, I don't think Vladimir Putin to just stop. He's spent a lot of treasure on trying to take back Ukraine because he was goaded into going in. And so how do you fix that? I don't think you can fix that. I don't think you can fix it. But anyway, that's the problem with Ukraine. And Putin is not budging right now. So as I said, I think if President Trump were to offer some, you know, either a threat of sanctions or some sort of big benefit or trade deal or whatever, I don't think he's not going to back out. Why would he? So that was that subject. And then we talked about something different, and that is the mayoral candidate of New York City. I want to remind you, his name is Zoran Mondami. We talked about him last week. In fact, let's listen to a clip we played last week just to refresh your memories. This is clip 9.
All right. You are a self-described democratic socialist. Do you think that billionaires have a right to exist?
I don't think that we should have billionaires because, frankly, it is so much money in a moment of such inequality. And ultimately, what we need more of is equality across our city and across our state and across our country. And I look forward to work with everyone, including billionaires, to make a city that is fairer for all of them.
Well, let me ask you about what Donald Trump, the president of the United States, has had to say. He's had a lot to say about your campaign. He called you a communist. Because he's the president, I want to give you a chance to respond directly to him. How do you respond? Are you a communist?
No, I am not.
No, I am not. And the problem is that we have a lot of recordings of Zoran saying things that are very much like communists, and that is like having the government run the grocery stores. How do you think that would go? Have you been to Social Security lately, tried to get help? Have you been to, the driver's license office and tried to get waited on, or was it efficient? No, I don't think so. So it's not just efficiency, it's prices, it's price controls. No, no, no. That's what communist countries do. They own the groceries, the medicines. They take over the banks. They take over the businesses. No, you don't want that. And I'll just give you, I'm going to give you an example in just a second. But let's stop and listen to the back and forth with Betsy McCoy and I on Wake Up America weekend on Newsmax yesterday. Let's listen.
The American Indians were the people on that land when the settlers conquered it. First, they tried to eliminate as many Indians as possible. This was the first recorded genocide in modern history. Then, with the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln generalized the solution of reservations. They herded American Indians into separate territories. For the Nazis, this was the inspiration. Hitler realized two things. One, that genocide was doable. It is possible to do genocide. That's what Hitler realized. Second thing Hitler realized is that you don't have to have a common citizenship. You can differentiate between people. The Nuremberg laws were patterned after American laws.
Very frightening. This is Zoran Mamdani's father, a professor at Columbia. Sandy, what are your thoughts?
I think what the Democrats are saying President Trump is doing now is exactly what's going to happen if Mamdani takes power or any communists like him. It destroys economies. It destroys the middle class. You know, Marx hated the middle class. It destroys people. It ends up causing death. I've been to every major a communist country in the world several times, China and Russia, and Vietnam. I was in North Korea on 9/11. You don't want to live that way. No one wants to live that way. This is just wrong. And you'll notice Mondami doesn't live the way communists preach that they should live. It's destructive. It causes death. It does the very things that the Democrats are accusing President Trump of doing through this legislation and other efforts that he's doing.
All right. So that was a short comment, but I want to say something about it because you know how I feel about communism. But I think it's in, hopefully I can instruct and help you see what I've seen through my eyes. What I've seen in communist countries and what I know about Marx and what he taught and how it actually works out. It doesn't work out well, but I will pick on the business part of it, first of all. Let me just say that in China and the Chinese Revolution, the Boxer Rebellion in 1917, one of the first things that Mao did was take over businesses. Well, I'd say actually, no, before he did that, he actually got businesses to work with him because they knew if they did not cooperate with his government, that he would take them over. And so they did all kinds of things on behalf of Mao to oppress the Chinese people. Now, hold on a second. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like companies that decided to make their employees take COVID vaccines for fear of being fired or, you know, imposed woke policies like the acceptance of transgenderism? The government didn't have to do it. Companies did it for them. And that is exactly what happened in communist countries. Of course, in China, what happened is Mao did eventually take over all the businesses. There's a great book about that, a famous family that had a silk trading business. And I was trying to see this title of it, and I can't see it from my seat here. But it's fascinating stuff. But he did do away with big business. Yes, he did, because the government decided to own all of it. You should have seen go to East Berlin, because I used to live in Berlin. I used to travel through Checkpoint Charlie into communist East Berlin. You should have seen the goods and services that the government made. Cheap, cheap stuff that you wouldn't want to buy. No comparison to what people who are free can produce. Limits on everything, limits on prices, government owning everything. No incentive, because the government owns everything. You don't own anything. You get the crumbs from their table. And so when Mondami starts talking about, you know, socializing the grocery stores, just think about that. Well, there's a story, a brand new story that just came across my desk. It's actually yesterday. It came out July the 6th from this recording that I'm doing. It's in the Blaze, but I want to share it with you. The title is Canadian Government Seizes Hospice Center Over Euthanasia. So you know that Canada has legalized euthanasia. We've talked about it on this. They have a new program called MAD, Medically Assisted Something. I forgot what the last part of it, what the last letter is. But it's now creeping into healthy people, depressed people, people that just, you know, they're tired of living. And it's become absolutely frightening. So that's the backdrop for this story. There's an organization, now this comes from the Blaze, by the way, Delta Hospice Society. The executive director is a woman named Angelina Ireland. And this is how she joined Glenn Beck on his radio program to tell how her palliative care company became a victim of Canadian fascism. And fascism is the cousin of communism, by the way. It's just there's not that much difference between them. And it has to do with public-private partnerships, and we're getting into that in this country, too. What does that mean? It means that you are invested in your company, but you decide to take government money. But the government decides that if you take their money, you have to do what they say. Now, that happened in our education programs, our Department of Education. It's happened to churches. It's happened to missions. I've watched World Vision. There's another relief, World Relief. I've watched them with my own eyes become corrupted because they took government money. That's what happens. It happens almost without fail. And I have to add, when I was president of CWA, this is when this was starting, George Bush, it was initiative of the Bush administration, and it sounded really good that Christian organizations could get help from government money. But I knew intuitively that wouldn't work, and I just said, we're not doing that. We are not taking a single dollar of federal money. Not as long as I'm in this position. And there was a reason for that. So let me tell you what happened to Delta Hospital. The owner describes, I was trying to find her name again. She describes what happened to Delta Hospice Society. It's 34 years old. It's privately run. It's a palliative care. That means people that are dying. It's a nonprofit that cares for the chronically and terminally ill until their natural end. The founders raised $8 million, and they got a 35-year land lease with the Public Health Authority. But then they decided they'd take federal money to help fund the operating costs. So these are her words. Everything went fine until this thing they call the State Euthanasia Program, which is called MAID. It's MAID, M-A-I-D, Medical Assistance in Dying, until it came into law, says Ireland. And then the province basically came to us and said, you're going to have to start providing euthanasia because you're getting public money. We said, absolutely not, at which point the fascism kicked in. I just call it stone-cold communism. When the government canceled the service agreement, Delta Hospice Society stood firm and said, we'll be fine without your money. But that was the wrong answer, says Ireland, because they then went after the lease that the company had 25 years left on and canceled it. The buildings that Delta Hospice Society had built entirely with private funds were promptly seized. They evicted us from our buildings. They expropriated those assets, which were valued at $8.5 million. They kicked us out and took our stuff. And the worst part is they came in and started operating the hospice, and then they started doing the euthanasia. She said she went to three very, very prominent lawyers to ask for help, and they all told her, you're not going to win. And they told her to just take their punches and move on because they couldn't beat the government. This is what Ireland said. This is her assessment of this. She said, it's a Canadian cull. They're killing the sick, the old, the mentally ill, the disabled veterans, the homeless, the poor, and now they're going after the children. It's truly a national horror for Canadians. And I mention that to you because Canada's not a communist country yet, but they've been a socialist country for a long time. So here they are down this terribly slippery, horrible slope, and that's what we've seen here. The last thing we need is Zoran Mondani to be the mayor of New York City. It's the center of commerce. It's a center for the whole world in terms of what comes out of that. It's the stock market. It's media. It's a theater. It's just a hub for a reason. And so that's the last thing we need because they set the pace. Media, the New York Times is the paper of record. It's the paper that it shouldn't be, but it is. It's still the one that everyone reads. And to find out what's going on in the world, we cannot have a communist mayor in New York. It'll be like a cancer. And the cancer's already here, believe me. But it'll be another leap it's gone to another organ if it goes to a mayor who's a communist. So I wanted to make that point a little bit more firmly. All right, well, that's the last of my comments with Newsmax. It's challenging to do that. You know, I worked for Fox for a number of years as a commentator, and I've had a lot of experience doing it. But it's good work, and I'm grateful for it, very grateful that Newsmax is calling me, giving me a chance to comment these days. Well, while we were doing this, something really funny happened. Oh, something really funny happened. And I'm going to tell you what right after this. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Did you know that since Roe v. Wade was passed, and that was back in 1973, over 66 million babies have been aborted in the United States? That's nearly one in five pregnancies terminated. With the abortion pill now available at local pharmacies and through the mail, a woman's bathroom now has become the scene of the crime. And that's where she tragically expels her child. We have to stop this. And you know how to do that. Preborn is a master at saving these babies and their moms. Go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. That's the opening of Wake Up America Weekend. So while people were listening to that music, I did the first hit, and I told you this is going to be slightly amusing. The first hit was 7:05. So because of the light in my office, I think I could tell you this. The light comes into my office in the morning first thing. But the sun doesn't come up till, I don't know, it depends on the time of year, but it was just coming up about the time the show started. So I had to switch my position so there would be good light. So I'm sitting in an unusual place, like in the middle of the room, and behind me are two French doors that lead out of my office, but into our bedroom. And I did not expect my husband to get up for my 7:05 appearance, and so he was still in the bed, but you couldn't see it. Because, you know, it was still dark and there just wasn't much in that room. I didn't think you could see it. So I'm waxing eloquent on Newsmax while I found out later my sweetheart decided he needed to get up. And, you know, it was early and he needed to, you know, do something important. So he knew I was on the air and he got down on the floor and grabbed a pillow and crawled along the floor to get to where he needed to go. All of this while I'm talking on Newsmax. So he thought I wasn't on the air yet, but I was. And so we still don't know if anybody saw Bruce crawling along the floor while I was doing my hit on Wake Up America Weekend on Newsmax. So if you were watching by some chance, let me know. That's the kind of thing you could call 662-821-2040 and see if you actually saw my sweetheart, Bruce, crawling along the floor while I was appearing on Newsmax. Anyway, that's the funny thing I was going to tell you. I hope you're not disappointed. I thought it was pretty funny. But I want to thank you for listening today to this particular show, which was a little bit different. I hope you enjoyed it. And, of course, I want to thank our sponsors, Timothy Plan, because they show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.